Well, it certainly is good to be here, and we are going to be in Psalm 119, as you just heard. So, open our Bibles there. We're going to be in Psalm 119, verses 89 through 96, this section of 8 verses here. And it did take me a while to get through Psalm 119, mainly just because I preached on it once a month instead of once a week, so I was in it over 2 years. I think the church was ready for me to move on by the time we finished with it. But it became, if not my favorite, at least one of my favorite. I still don't know if I could pick a favorite chapter in God's Word, but this is definitely the very top of the list. There is no other chapter like this chapter. And of course, the longest chapter, and of course, all about God's Word, and what we're going to look at a little bit tonight, and something that I learned a lot about Psalm 119 is that it, more so in teaching us about the character and nature of God's Word, it teaches us about the character and nature of God. And of course, God's Word is what it is because of who God is. And that is kind of the essence of what we're going to look at tonight. But let's go ahead and read these verses 89 through 96. The Bible says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thy ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine. Save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad." Let's go ahead and pray one more time before we get into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that we can be here today. Thank you that we can look into your word. And we pray that you would teach us the truths of your word tonight. Pray that you would fill me with your spirit and give me the words to say, and that you would speak to all of our hearts here this evening. And we love you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So this section here is kind of right in the middle, and I thought the hymns that we sang tonight were very appropriate for this. First thing, the Bible stands, of course, where our second or our last hymn there was "Great is Thy Faithfulness," and kind of what we're going to look at tonight is the Bible stands because great is God's faithfulness, and so those worked out really well, I think. But God's Word is, of course, what it is because of who God is. And the idea we're going to take here tonight is how God's Word is the solution to our life. It is a permanent solution to our life because of who God is and the fact that it is His Word. One thing that of course, I already mentioned this, but we see throughout Psalm 119 over and over and over again mentioned is these characteristics of God Himself. And especially in the nature of going through trials and afflictions, we see that brought out very often throughout this chapter. And what brought the psalmist through his trials and his afflictions was that he did always return to God's Word, but he went to God's Word because he had a proper understanding of God and of who God was, and he knew that he could trust God and rely on God, and that God had a purpose for whatever it was happening, and because of that knowledge, he would go to God's Word and say, I know that God's Word has what I need. God's Word is the solution. And starting right off in this section, it is a very well-known verse, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." See, God's Word is, of course, permanent. It is settled. It is established. It is confirmed. It's not going to move. It's not going to change. It's not going anywhere. It is unchanging. And, of course, the Bible is unchanging. It is settled forever because God is settled forever. God is unchanging. The Bible speaks of this often all throughout Scripture. Hebrews chapter 1, I'll just read this verse here. This quotes Psalm 102, same verses here. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 11 says, "They shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall all wax old as doth the garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." And so that quotes Psalm 102 and Malachi 3:6, the verses. God says, "I am the Lord, I change not." And God is permanent. God is eternal. God is unchanging. He is immutable. He is established. He is faithful. And His very name brought out in this verse, the word used for Lord here is, of course, Jehovah. And it means the self-existent one, the eternal one, the I am, the one who needs nothing else to exist, to survive. Our God just is. There is nothing that sustains Him. He just is. He always has been, always will be. He is. And it can be hard for us sometimes to wrap our minds around that. In fact, I don't believe we ever will wrap our minds around that. But that's because God is God and we are not. But God always is, always has been. He is the eternal one. And that's probably one of the most common questions I get asked by my bus kids back home. It's like, who made God? Well, no one made God. God has just always been there. God is the eternal. He is the Alpha and the Omega. And God always is. That is His nature. His Word is the same as His nature. So what we want to keep in our minds as we go through this psalm tonight is that God's Word is going to have the same nature, the same characteristics as God. God and His Word are the same. And it says that God's Word is forever settled in heaven. Man cannot change it. Man cannot change God's Word. It is settled in heaven, and it is not something that man can get their hands on, and mess up and distort. Of course, we do have lots of perversions of Scripture out there today, of course, that man has attempted to change, and the devil has attempted to change, but we still have God's Word. We'll look at that, especially as we go into the next verse here. But God's Word is going to always exist. Now, this is very important for us to understand. This next point that we're going to make is not only does God's Word always exist, always has been, always will be, but it will always be available to us. We can still have the very Word of God with us today. As it says in the next verse, "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." It will be God's faithfulness will be available to all generations, all people of all time. Now, when we're looking at God's faithfulness here, the faithfulness of God's Word is a result of the nature and character of God as well. God's faithfulness and the faithfulness of His Word are the same. God is always faithful. The Bible has many things to say about this, but, you know, these verses here, they teach us the inerrancy, the immutability of God's Word, the preservation of God's Word. You know, this is why we say that we have God's Word here today. And we believe it's the King James Version of the Bible. It's simple. Study of texts and translations makes it very obvious which one it is. But we believe that because of these verses, right, and other places in Scripture. But it's going to be around forever, and it's going to be available to us forever. So we still have it, and we have it here in our hands today. And it's not going to change. It's a result of God's faithfulness, God's truth, God's veracity. Let me read a verse in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. Find Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9. Whoop, that's 6. There it goes. Okay, the Bible says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. God is the faithful God. This is the idea of God's faithfulness is repeated, of course, throughout Scripture. But another one of my favorite verses, and this is Psalms 36, verse 5, where it says, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. God's faithfulness, as we sang about tonight, great is thy faithfulness. God's faithfulness is very great. God's faithfulness is beyond great. It never ends. And that is the same is true of God's word here. That God's faithfulness is always going to be there. God's word is always going to be there. So when we're keeping this in mind about our Lord, is that when he is unchanging, as his word is unchanging, he is faithful, as his word is faithful to us. So we need to have this is the view of God that we need to have, what's being portrayed to us here. That God is faithful, that God is unchanging. It gives us an illustration here in verse 90 about the earth. In verse 90 and 91 says, thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thy ordinances, for all are thy servants. So God's faithfulness is seen through creation. We see it in creation. We see it in the world around us. We see it through the just one of the ways that we can see it very obviously is the laws of nature, the ordinance of nature that this talks about, and it's mentioned several other times in Scripture. God's ordinances that He's established in nature. Think about the fact that these laws never change. The laws of gravity never change. You're always going to fall if you jump off a cliff or a building. But there's so many laws that are scientists have discovered in nature that govern nature. These laws, they never change. The laws of physics, laws of motion, they are fundamental laws that the only reason that they exist is because God willed them to exist. God established them. God has established His ordinances, and they never change. Even this past week, I was reading an article. It was talking about, as scientists, when they go out exploring in space and they discover, maybe a new star or when they send out these spacecraft to observe our solar system, they will examine the asteroids or whatever that they find to see if they follow the same laws of physics that everything around us on Earth does. And they've never found one thing ever that disobeys the general laws of physics that we know. There, it is the same throughout the universe. God has established these ordinances, and they're going to continue that way until God Himself changes them. And it abideth. So Psalms here is telling us, is using creation as an illustration of God's faithfulness. As the earth continues this day according to God's ordinances, God's word is going to continue. God's word is going to be faithful. It says, for all are thy servants. They're all obedient to God. They continue just because God tells them what to do. It's not something that they do on their own. So this is the Creator who wrote this word, who wrote the words that we have in our Bible here. This is the Creator God who made all these, who made these laws, who established these laws, who made our universe and established these things, and he is the one who gave us the Bible. The Bible is His word, the one who is faithful in all things and is true in all things and will continue for all things. Now, because of this, we can trust God's word. We can go to God's word. God's word is permanent because it is God's word, because of whose word it is. Now, we're going to get into verse 92 here, and we're going to see where the psalmist talks about some solutions, that how God's word is the solution for his life because of whose word it is, and some things, his attitude that he had towards God's word and how it affected his life. Read verse 92 there. It says, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. See, when the Bible is our delight, it will help us. It will more than help us. It will be the solution to our life. In order for us to make God's Word our delight, we have to have the proper understanding of where it comes from, of who it is that wrote it, is what we've been talking about, of God who wrote it. And, you know, something that is our delight is something that we love, something that we cherish, something that we pour a lot of time and effort into, something that we enjoy putting effort into, something that we enjoy seeing the results of, something that we enjoy working on. It's our delight. Hopefully in our marriage, you know, we delight in our spouse and we enjoy spending time with our spouse and communicating and growing and developing that relationship. We should delight in God the same way. We should delight in God's law the same way, where we develop our relationship with the Lord and where we love God's Word. If we delight in God's Word, we're going to want to be in it. It won't be a struggle to read it every day. And just like if we delight in our spouse, it won't be, you know, maybe at the end of the day or something like that, and you get home from work and your spouse wants to sit down and have a nice conversation with you. Like, oh, do I have to talk to you again? I see you every day. No, shouldn't be the way. It should be you delight in her. Like, yes, okay, let's spend some time together. You know, with delight. We need to delight in God's Word. And we'll be willing to spend time in something that we delight in. You know, our hobbies or, you know, stuff that we, like whatever it may be, whether it be fishing or hunting or whatever it may be, sewing, cooking. You know, if you delight in something, you're going to want to spend a lot of time in it. Well, the psalmist here is saying that he delighted in God's Word. He repeats that throughout the psalm quite often. He says, unless thy law had been my delights, that I should then have perished in mine affliction. So what he's saying, what got him through is affliction. What got him through this hard time that he was going through, and he's still going through it here. Actually, if we keep this in context, he's still going through it. But he's saying what is getting him through this is his delight in God's law, his delight in God's Word. Now, if we as Christians are not where we're supposed to be in our relationship to the Lord, if we do not have our time in God's Word, if we do not have a delight in God's Word, as the psalmist had, as we were supposed to have, when hard times come, when afflictions come, it's going to be very difficult to get through them. You might not get through them, but even though difficult times will always be difficult, no doubt. But for the Christian, the key to getting through affliction, as we see put out in this psalm so many times, is being in God's Word, delighting in God's Word, loving God's Word, loving God. This is necessary for us to get through the Christian life, and more just get through it, but be successful in it. And that will come when we realize when we have the proper understanding, perspective of who God is, realizing how powerful God is. And when we think about, wow, the Word that I have here in my hand, this comes from the Creator, the one who established the earth and it abides, the one who never ends, who never changes. And we, you know, Alaska is a great place to see, you know, God's creation and the tremendous mountains and the ocean. And you can kind of get used to it up here when you live here, probably, but when we, you know, we come and go every couple of years, and every time we come, though, it's like, wow, this is amazing. You can really see, you know, the power of God in creation up here. And but that's something that is good to remind ourselves of often. The world around us, you know, it didn't just happen. It was created by God, and this Creator is the one who gave us His Word. It comes directly from Him. And instead of having the idea of you know, well, I got this Bible from my dad, I think on my 14th birthday. Instead of it's good to remember, I guess, things like that. But I don't sit down every morning and think, my dad gave me this Bible, so I'm going to read it. You know, I mean, I'm glad he gave me this Bible, but I sit down and think, this comes from the Creator. This comes from Almighty God. I need this today. You know, this comes from my Savior, my Lord. This comes from God. I need to read this. And this has what I need for today. And he says here, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. He says, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. So God's word is his delight. And he says, not only is his delight, the Bible here, it has his attention. Now, if it has your delight, obviously you're going to pay attention to something that you delight in. But he says, I'm never going to forget God's word. You know, forgetting comes from a lack of attention, a lack of focus. Just, you know, you just kind of, it no longer is important to you. You've got other things to focus on, other things to worry about. So you tend to forget. You forget about things. And but he says here, I'm never going to forget thy precepts. Never going to forget God's word. I'm not going to neglect it. You know, and that's if it's you got to do more than just say, as we'll see in the psalm how he says what he's going to do. But he's not just going to say, I'm not going to forget it, but he's going to pay attention to it. He's going to be careful, be diligent to be in it. And he realizes here, and he said this throughout this psalm, so many times he's asked for God's help to not forget it. And he realizes, he says throughout the psalm, the nature of his own flesh, and that he could very easily go away from God's word in and of himself. He needs help. He needs to work at it to not forget God's word. And we need to have the same idea. We need to realize that our flesh is against God. It's against God's word. Every morning when you go to have your devotions, there's I guess good mornings and bad mornings. From sometimes it's so easy, like, yeah, you know, I really want to get into God's word today. And then there's other mornings when maybe I had to get up an hour earlier for work or something like that. I just don't have the desire for this today. I just, you know, I want to sleep in an extra hour. I want to do this or do that. Or I've got so much going on. You know, we're going to have that battle all the time with our flesh. So it's something we got to work on. We say, no, I'm not going to forget God's word. I'm going to pay attention to it. I need it. I don't want to let it slack off in my life. Because just letting a little bit slack, just letting a little bit less attention, and a little bit less attention here or there, eventually will bring you to a point where you don't want to be at. You'll come to a point where you've forgotten God's word. And what is mentioned also, along with the idea of delighting in, is even if you're reading God's word every day, you can forget it even as you're reading it, if you understand what I mean. You can be reading the words but not paying attention to what's there, just kind of going through it, going through the motions. You got to be careful not to forget in that way either, but to delight in it when you read it, to keep your attention on it when you're reading it. And he says, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. So he's gonna make it priority in his life to keep it before his attention. And he says that God's word has quickened him. It has given him life. Quickening is talking about life. In essence here, this is talking about revival. You know, he had been revived with God's word. Now, how do you keep from being a dead Christian? How do you keep from just getting into a rut and not having any life or vigor in your Christian life? Well, keep God's word as your priority, as your attention. Give it your utmost and serious attention. Don't neglect God's word. You know, this is brought out also throughout Psalm 119, the fact of quickening, especially in the latter part, is brought up back several times, how God's word quickens us. God's word brings revival in our life. If you want to be a revived Christian, you want to be on fire for the Lord, you know, you want to just... You know, the idea of revival in Scripture, of quickening, of having a vibrant Christian life in Scripture, is not necessarily someone that goes out and that wins 10,000 souls to the Lord every month. It's someone who is faithful, to God's Word, who is faithful and obedient to do what's right, who is just going to not back down under pressure of the world and the flesh, but someone who is going to... have that idea of, I'm going to stick with God's word. God's word is what quickens us. You want to be a revived Christian? Want to be a Christian full of life and vigor? Stay in God's word every day. And make it your delight. And that will quicken you. lack of attention to God's Word will result in dead Christianity. We can see that in our personal lives. We can see that in whole churches all around us. Churches who have just neglected the importance of God's Word, they become very dead, very lifeless. And that's why we need God's Word to give us that life each day. And it's what develops our relationship with God. That life and Christian life comes from our relationship with the Lord, which we need to be faithful to God's Word in order to have that relationship with God's Word. Now, this next verse here, it says, verse 94, it says, "I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts." We're not going to go too much longer here, but this is an important verse here. It says, he's talking about the fact that he is God. That he belongs to the God of the Bible. The God who he's speaking about here, who is faithful, who is true, who is forever settled, and his word is forever settled. He belongs to him. He belongs to God. And he asked him to save him. He says, "For I have sought thy precepts." But, you know, in order for us to have the proper attitude about God's Word, in order for God's Word to be an effective solution in our life, to our life's problems and to what we go through, we need to have this attitude of, I belong to the God of the Bible. The God who wrote this book that I'm reading, I belong to Him. He is my Father. He is my God. He is my King. He is my Lord. I belong to the God of the Bible. This is key. When we know that we belong to God, we need to keep in mind that, you know, who the God is that we belong to. And this is something that has been brought out throughout this psalm, is the fact that this God that he belongs to, he said over and over again about God's faithfulness and about God's goodness. Let me just read a couple of verses earlier on in the psalm. Let me see. Verse 68, the Bible says, "Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes." Verse 71, the Bible says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Verse 73, it says, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me." He's saying some incredible things here. What he's saying here is a result of someone who deeply knows God and has a deep relationship with the Lord. He's going through a terrible time. All throughout the time, he's going through a lot of trouble, a lot of persecution, a lot of affliction, a lot of trouble. What does he say? God is good. He says, "Thou art good and doest good. It is good for me that I have been afflicted." And he says, "I know, Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me." Okay, so he knows that he belongs to God. He is God's creation. He is God's servant. He is God's child. And says, listen, this is who I belong to. A God who is good. A God who is faithful, the God who I can trust and rely on 100%, where even if God brings me through this time of affliction, he can say that, "I know that in faithfulness thou hast afflicted me." This is very important. This is something that is not easy to do when you're going through a rough time, to say, "Wow, this is great. I'm going through the worst time in my life. Praise the Lord." But that's the attitude that he has here, because he understands who God is, who is bringing him through this, who is doing it to him. He understands this is good. This is good for him. And I can say that, you know, it is very important to have that idea of God when you're going through a rough time. Even just recently, my wife and I have gone through some very, very difficult times. It was probably personally some of the most difficult things I've ever gone through. But I could not imagine going through a rough time in Christian life without knowing God, without having God's Word, without being able to open up Psalm 119 and other passages in Scripture and say, "Wow, okay, this is my God, and He is doing something in my life, and I can trust Him. I can rely on that. I belong to God," as he says, you know, "I am thine." And he asks him, "Save me. I am thine. Save me." He's asking for deliverance from his affliction, and he's asking for help in his affliction. And he asks this over and over again about the psalm. But he does more than just pray and ask. And we also see this throughout. There's a couple other sections where he focuses on this, where he says that I'm not just going to ask, but I'm gonna do something to kind of back up what I'm asking. I'm going to show that I'm going to be obedient. And he says, I have sought thy precepts. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. And he's obedient to God's word. And the Bible is his focus once again, as we see in verse 95. It says, the wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. You know, so these wicked men here are waiting for him. And I picture it as they're kind of as maybe Daniel. They're waiting for him to make a mistake, seeing what they could do to pounce on him and destroy him. He says, he's very careful here to focus on God's word. No matter what the circumstances are around him, he's got these wicked men waiting for him and afflicting him, and they want to destroy him. But he's not focused on that. He says, but I will consider thy testimony. He says, I know what's going on, but I'm going to consider God's word. What does God's word say about this? What does God's word say I should do? No matter what these other people want to do to me, even if maybe they were waiting for him to make a mistake, or maybe they were waiting to see if he would continue to follow God's word, and what would he do, and how could they torment him based on what he did. But he says, I don't care what they're doing. I'm going to consider thy testimonies. I'm going to keep my focus on thy precepts, on thy word. And that's the key. There's another at the end of Psalm 119 focuses on this a lot more, on keeping our minds on God's word and the peace that brings in times of trouble or at any time. The key to peace, the key to assurance, the key to rest, the key to focus and determination in rough times is keeping your mind on God's word. Stay in God's word. What does God's word say? Have that in your mind, and that is a tremendous protection. And in the last verse here, he says, I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. You know, he's got a good perspective here on life. He's keeping his focus on God's word, but he looks at life through God's commandments. You know, he says, I have seen an end of all perfection. He has seen that there's so many, you know, if something is perfect, the idea here is complete. And, of course, God's word is said to be perfect and complete. He's saying even something is perfect, even if something is complete, there's an end to it. We have a saying, perfect. We tend to use that word to mean appropriate, you know, like whatever, maybe, like that, you know, this food would be perfect for that occasion or something like that, whatever, maybe. You know, we tend to use it in that sense. But God's word goes broad. It's exceeding broad. God's word has no limits. So we're exceeding broad here. The word behind that is infinite. No limits. God's word is perfect for every occasion. It's perfect for everything. Everything that we go through in life, no matter what it is, God's word is appropriate for it. God's word is so. You know, we keep that in mind that every day, every trouble we come up against, whatever it may be, a family problem or a church problem or a work problem or an old problem, you're just going through a great time, whatever it may be, God's word is appropriate for that occasion. You go to God's word. God's word has what to do. It has the solution for that. And, of course, God's word is exceeding broad and infinite because of God, because God is. And so God's word is what it is. Because God is faithfulness. And we need to keep God's word our delights, our focus, and consider it, you know, keep it our attention on it. Even when we're going through rough times, that's the most important time to keep our attention on it. And remember that we belong to the God of this Bible. If we have accepted the Lord as our Savior, we belong to the God who gave us this Bible. It's personal to us. And we need to keep our focus and attention on it because it is God's word. It is what it is. It is so great because it came from God, the Almighty Creator, great God. All right, so we are going to end right there, and we'll.